content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler for the North Carolina Reading Service, and welcome to Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from HGTV e-newsletter, Birds and Blooms magazine, Better Homes and Garden magazine, the Triangle Gardener magazine, and State by State Gardening website. We'll start with HGTV Gardens Outdoors. Vegetables you can plant now for fall harvest. Beans. Beans of all types grow quickly and can produce abundant harvest up until frost. This makes them ideal for succession planting, meaning planting at intervals throughout the growing season. You can even start beans in the heat of summer, sow outdoors directly in the soil. If you're growing pole beans, add a trellis. If you're growing bush varieties, no trellises needed. Beets are an ideal fall crop. Sow seeds directly outdoors. You can pre-soak seeds to help with germination. In warmer climates, especially, sow seeds in late summer under taller crops like tomatoes or peppers to provide a little shade. After the temperatures cool and you remove the tall crops, beets will thrive. Radishes. Radishes are one of the quickest maturing crops at 4 weeks from seed to harvest. Like beets, you can sow under taller summer crops to provide a little shade. You can stagger plantings to get a couple harvests of radishes from late summer through fall. Broccoli. Broccoli can be sown directly into the garden in late summer for a fall harvest, or plant from transplants for a little ease. Broccoli is sensitive to frost and freeze, so cover to protect the growing buds in the event of an early cold spell. Turnips. If you have never roasted turnips, you are missing out. Turnips are easy to grow in the fall garden and into winter. Direct sow in late summer to early fall. Roots are ready to harvest when they start popping up from the soil line. Smaller turnips' roots are more tender. Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts love cool weather and are often grown in cool climates as a spring crop that holds in the garden through summer. In warmer climates, though, Brussels sprouts can be started in fall and grown through winter into early spring. They can take a little frost. Start from seed indoors and transplant outside when weather cools, or buy transplants at your local garden center. Green onions. Green onions can be direct sown in late summer and harvested through fall and early winter. Collard greens are popular in southern gardens, but they're easy to grow almost anywhere as long as they're planted in the cool weather of spring or fall. They taste sweeter when they're lightly touched by frost. Triangle Gardener Magazine, Understanding Piedmont Soils by Cynthia Solid. North Carolina clay is great for pottery and bricks, but many gardeners find it challenging. Clay soils often come with drainage problems, lack of air and water movement, and compaction. The Piedmont also has some areas with sandy soils, deposed by river sediments or ancient ocean deposits. Understanding a bit about our soils forms the basis of what needs to be done to improve them for better gardening results. In this two-part series, We'll start by providing some background into soil basics. Then in the September-October issue, we'll discuss ways to improve your garden soil. Piedmont soils were primarily created from mountain and rock erosion, resulting in predominantly clay soils. Such soils tend to be shallow and aren't naturally rich in mineral deposits. In addition, our high heat and rainfall cause leaching of minerals and nutrients and speed breakdown of organic matter, which means we need regular additions of both. Another characteristic of our soils is that they tend to have a low or acid pH, while most plants prefer a neutral pH. The exact composition of soils varies throughout the area and even in different regions of your yard. So a soil test is always recommended to understand your own specific pH and fertility levels. Clay has many attributes that can make it difficult to work with. It tends to compact, can hold too much water, and gets slippery when wet. But it has redeeming qualities too, one of which is that it does a good job of holding plant nutrients when they are present. Sandy soils, though, are not able to retain nutrients well and require spoon feeding to maintain fertility. Most likely, you have a soil that is a mixture of the three basic types of particles, sand, silt, and clay. Sand is the largest. It is gritty, loose, and drains quickly. Sand is roughly spherical with angular edges. Clay is the smallest. The particles are so small that you cannot see individual particles with your naked eye. Clay particles have a flat, plate-like shape and thus adhere together quite tightly, which causes it to drain slowly and gives it its slippery nature. Silt particles are in between in size as they are a weathered sand with a more or less spherical shape. The relative amounts of the different particle types making up your soil is called its texture. The texture of a soil affects its physical characteristics and behavior. A soil with mostly large particles, sand, has large pore spaces and will drain quickly, whereas a soil with mostly clay particles has very small pores and won't drain well. Descriptive names are used to classify soils of varying components into textural classes such as sandy loam or silty clay. The specific mix of particle types determines the textural class. For example, a soil that is 10% sand, 35% silt, and 55% clay is in the clay textural class and will have characteristics of a clay soil. The perfect soil type, called loam, is a balanced mix of the various particle types. Unfortunately, it is not characteristic of our area, while soils with clay properties are widespread. Clay soils can easily become compacted, especially if exposed to heavy equipment or lots of foot traffic. If in compacted soils, the air and water are pushed out and it is compressed. Compacted soils have less infiltration, greater runoff, a higher risk of erosion, and more restricted growth than soils without compaction. Short of removing and replacing your soil, you can't do much about its texture. However, there is another characteristic, structure that holds potential for improvement. Structure refers to how individual soil particles are grouped into larger pieces called aggregates. Pore structure in compacted clay leads to slow water movement and low oxygen, which can starve plant roots and microorganisms of oxygen, leading to root disease and changes in soil chemistry. In sandy soils, organic matter can play a vital role in retaining moisture and nutrients. Good soil structure includes air channels and pores, which allows rapid movement of both air and water through the soil, the missing critical component to help in the formation of good structure is the presence of organic matter, OM. In the September-October issue, we'll discuss adding OM and steps to take to improve your clay and make for happier plants. And now, from 1001 Hints and Tips for Your Garden by Reader's Digest, here's some information on begonias. Don't get lost in this huge botanical group. Learn to distinguish the three most common kinds. Begonia semperfluens varieties are tender perennials that are grown from seed as annuals. They can be used in flower beds, window boxes, and pots. Begonia are tuberous begonias whose bulbs are planted at the end of winter for summer bloom in flower beds or window boxes. Begonias include the famous Begonia rex and its hybrid offspring. These are usually propagated from leaf cuttings and cultivated as houseplants. Begonia semperfluens. Sow seeds by pressing them lightly into the soil but not covering them. They are very fine and need plenty of light to germinate. Water the seed starting mix from below to avoid disturbing the seeds. Do this by soaking the base of the flat in a larger container of water. When the surface of the mix is moist, remove the flat and let it drip before putting it back in a semi-shaded spot. Another way to water gently. Before planting seeds, put a peat pot or other porous container into the starting mix at the center of the flat with drainage holes plugged. To water, fill the container. Moisture will slowly diffuse throughout the mix. Wait until after the last frost to plant begonias in your flower beds and window boxes. They cannot stand the cold. If a late frost threatens, bring the begonia pots indoors for the evening and leave them overnight in a cool room. Remove all spent flowers and any leaves that turn yellow. An occasional pinching back will encourage your plants to be bushier and to flower more profusely. Darker foliage helps semperfluens begonias to tolerate more sun than those with lighter foliage. If you want to plant them in full sun, don't worry if some leaves scorch. They will fall off. The new set of leaves will be acclimatized to the greater light intensity, and your flowers will be all the more showy when grown in full sun. At the end of summer, transplant a few vigorous specimens from your flower beds into pots filled with potting soil. They'll continue to bloom indoors next to a sunny window for several months. Cut them back occasionally to encourage new shoots. Tuberous begonias. Don't skimp on the quality of the tubers. The bigger they are when you buy, the more flowers they'll produce. Take your pick of flower shapes, single and double blooms, either fringed or crenellated. Plant the right way. To plant tubers, find the small point on the top. It will produce the stem. Orient it toward the surface. Note, The top is concave, which may confuse you. Start tubers indoors in February or March. Place side by side in trays filled with equal mixtures of sand and damp peat moss. Place the top end just under the soil, since many of the roots are produced at the tuber's rim. Side planting. If you cannot identify the concave top, plant the tubers on their sides. The new shoots will grow their way up to the light at the surface. Select the compact multiflora begonias with single or double flowers. The other types prefer partial shade. Keep it wet. The rooting medium should be moist and kept at about 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, from Better Homes and Gardens, Letting Loose. Austin shares his advice for embracing a naturalistic style in your garden. For a sense of order, clumps of millennium, allium, and autumn joy sedum alternate around the central fountain. Belinda pours a cup of apple cider vinegar into the water each week to keep the fountain algae-free and safe for birds. Austin harvests from throughout the garden for bouquets, mixing flowers with seed heads and grasses for texture. Along the driveway, perennials step down in height from tall culver's root to mid-sized sea lavender to low oregano. Dainty flowers like black-eyed Susans and pom-pom-shaped allium spill over path edges. Plants like allium supply nectar and pollen to visiting hummingbirds, bees, butterflies, and beneficial insects that help control pests. A potted Hawaii bromeliad draws the eye to the back of the garden with a bright hit of color and comes inside for winter. Plant perennials. He suggests choosing 5 to 7 varieties and planting several in a mass for waves of color and texture. Repeat combinations in different beds, such as clusters of coneflowers and pentstemon next to moor grass. Let them do their thing. Part of the beauty of a garden is seeing it unfold through the seasons. Austin suggests skipping deadheading and instead watching perennials' life cycle filling in, flowering, and setting seeds. Design stopping points. If you're packing your garden with plants, Austin says it's important to create breathers in the form of containers, seats, or fountains. In his parents' backyard, Austin included 3 water features and 5 small seating areas. And now from Birds and Blooms magazine, Milkweed. To help monarch butterflies grow the one plant they need most. This is by Deb Wiley. Monarch butterflies are rapidly declining due to the loss of habitat and use of pesticides. As gardeners mobilize, planting milkweed is the most effective way to help because it is the only plant that sustains a monarch through each of its life stages. It also produces a chemical that makes monarchs toxic and bitter tasting to some of their predators. The bottom line is, if milkweed disappears, so will monarchs, says Laura Lukens, who works as a national monitoring coordinator for the Monarch Joint Venture, a partnership of American Federal State and other organizations. Home gardeners have a huge role to play in providing habitat for monarchs, pollinators, and other wildlife. Residential properties have the potential to contribute many thousands, maybe even millions of acres of habitat. Milkweed, scientifically called Asclepias, is a huge genus with 73 species native to the United States and more than 100 species across North America. It's the only plant that hosts monarch caterpillars. Choose wisely. Select milkweeds native to your region. Common names vary wildly, so use botanical names when you're researching. Since milkweed species have varying needs for sun, water, and space, pay attention, extra attention, to growing requirements. Find a directory of native plant vendors in the Habitat Needs tab under About Monarchs. We recommend planting a diversity of native milkweeds and flowering plants to provide monarchs with food throughout the entire season, Laura says. Avoid tropical milkweed. Although easy to grow, tropical types host a parasite that infects and harms monarchs. It may encourage monarchs to stop short of their full migration, increasing the risk of parasitic transmission. Check with native plant specialists to learn how to minimize your problems year-round, such as cutting plants back to a few inches tall in fall and winter. Get growing. The easiest way to grow milkweed is to start with plants instead of seeds, tucking them into the ground after the danger of frost has passed. Starting milkweed from seed is tricky. Most seeds need a period of chilling called vernalization and stratification to germinate and then flower. In cold climates, plant seeds directly into the ground in autumn. Indoors, place seeds between moist paper towels inside a sealed plastic bag, or plant the seeds directly into peat pots covered with a sealed plastic bag. Chill in a refrigerator at least 30 days. Plant cold-treated seeds in a moist seed-starting potting mix. Place the pots under a grow light or near a sunny window. Warning: seedlings may take a long time to emerge or not grow at all. If the seedlings make it, start to transplant the 2 to 3 inch plants with the intact root ball after the danger of frost has passed. Most milkweeds have long tap roots that hate to be disturbed. A seedling may lose its leaves after being transplanted, or it could die. Some types of milkweed spread more aggressively than others. To contain the plant, grow it in a raised bed or container and remove the pods, or plant it only where it can run freely. Milkweed does not need to be fertilized. Good to know before you grow. Wear gloves when handling milkweed because the milky sap may cause skin or eye irritation. In large quantities, the sap may be toxic to livestock or pets. Milkweed may attract aphids and other insects, while a high concentration of aphids on your milkweed may look bad. These insects are not necessarily causing harm to monarchs, Laura says. Unless they are in extremely high density, they are usually not enough to kill the plant. Because chemical pesticides or insecticides also kill monarchs, the best option is to remove the pests by hand, cut off stems with lots of aphids, or simply allow nature to take its course. Deb Wiley grows the Midwest native orange butterfly weed and a cultivar called Hello Yellow in her Des Moines, Iowa garden. She allows common milkweed to grow, pulling stems if it gets too aggressive. And now, from Ecce Magazine's Hot Peppers, Tea Packs, and More for the Garden. Give her a squirt. If you get into the habit of cleaning your lawnmower after each use, it will probably keep your repair bills down and extend the life of the mower. You can also enhance your mower's longevity with this quick step. After each cleaning, spray the undercarriage and blades with non-stick cooking spray. It both lubricates and prevents materials from sticking. Keep the can in the storage area near your mower for easy access. Mow and sow. For most lawns, you can hardly seed enough. All season long, it seems as if there are bare patches to cope with, and you never spot them until you're right on them. Solve this problem by keeping some grass seed with you at all times when you mow. It's easy. Simply duct tape an airtight cylinder, such as an empty potato chip or tennis ball can, to the handle of your lawnmower and fill it with seed. When you spot a bare patch, repair it on the spot. The next time you absolutely need to mow early, well before a heavy dew might dry, try this trick. Assuming you have a small lawn, pull out all those old tablecloths, curtains, and sheets you keep in the garage for throwing over the annuals before a frost. Lay them over your lawn the night before you plan to mow. In the morning, just pick up the dew-laden cloths and mow to your heart's content. The grass will be bent down a bit. If necessary, drag the garden hose crosswise across it to fluff it up. After you have finished the mowing, spread the cloths out on the grass to dry before packing them away. When small bits of leaves or gravel get onto your lawn, it's tricky to get them out. Most rakes aren't up to the task because the tines are too far apart. As a solution, head into the house and reach into your broom closet. An old-fashioned whisk broom or any other fairly stiff broom works beautifully to sweep the debris into an easily removable pile. Don't use a push broom. It's too dense, and you run the risk of brushing away chunks of grass as well. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Our number is 919-832-5138 if you have any comment or questions.